Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and everybody that's listening to this. And I'm thankful that you're taking the time and you're honoring our Lord, and that you're doing this on purpose and sitting down and desiring what saith the Lord. And don't you let the enemy lie to you. That's very important to the Lord, and the Lord notices these things that you do on purpose for Him and in His name. And He will reward you for it, and God's Word will reward you. Today, we're going to go back into the ABCs of Christian Growth, the letter O, and we're going to recap just a little bit and then continue on. And I think we're just going to have maybe two more programs on this lesson O that will finish out our material as far as what we've been studying, what the Bible says about obedience. It's study number 15, and we began this study, if you remember back in program number one, that we talked quite a bit about just some results that are in society today concerning evidence about how obedience is in society today. And we took the statistics from causes of death having to do with age groups, remember? And if you can't find out whether or not there is obedience in society by looking at the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States, and this was 2016 that we were looking at, then you one brick short of a load, because a child could tell you whether that scale is good or bad. The thing about it is nobody cares. Nobody cares. And that's not just something that somebody can say nowadays. This is the truth. Nobody cares. And it's going to get worse and worse, and the world's going to care about itself and what the world wants and stick with its selfishness. And just like we did, like Paul said, whenever we were living lives of wickedness, caring about ourselves and going about to establish our own righteousness instead of the things of the Lord. And now things are different. We have God the Holy Ghost living within us. The Lord has paid our payment. We are free from sin, and we die daily. And we are able to live for the Lord now and live without sin in our lives as best as we can with God the Holy Ghost. So by yielding to God the Holy Ghost and to the Word of God and waiting on the Lord and helping God the Holy Ghost conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We talked about God's attitude regarding obedience. We talked about God's attitude regarding disobedience. We talked about the source of true obedience. And then we went on into the promises and blessings regarding relating to obedience that the Bible does promise us. The Lord doesn't just say, if He wanted to put a thumb on our head and say, you're going to be obedient, and that's what I say, and that's the end of it, you wouldn't have no say-so in it at all. But the Lord's not that way. He's not a taskmaster. He could be, but the Lord has character and He has integrity, and the Lord's kind of love is not fake in any way. The Lord's love is genuine love that you and I cannot completely understand. We get the only ones that know anything about true love is the ones that have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. And we get pieces and bits of it as we yield to the Lord, and as we learn the Word of God, we learn God's love, and we learn the love of Christ. But as far as the Lord having any doing, the Lord doesn't do anything outside of His character and outside of a holy character and being a holy God. He doesn't just happenstance anything. The Lord gives every man fair chances and fair opportunities to say what he wants to say, when he wants to say it, and how he wants to say it. And He even gives all the people that want to go to hell the opportunity to go to hell if they want to go to hell. But He doesn't like it. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that you perish, but if you insist. We talked about the promises and blessings relating to obedience. There are many promises and blessings and things to look forward to. We have everything to look forward to. If it wasn't for God's word and it wasn't for God's plan, you and me and our lives would be a tragic waste. They would be worth absolutely nothing. We had no integrity outside of Jesus Christ. You have no identity outside of Jesus Christ. Who are you? You ever heard that? Who are you? You can't answer that unless you know God the Holy Ghost, unless God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you and you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. You can't genuinely answer that and be right without Jesus Christ. We have no identity without Jesus Christ and the promises and blessings in the Bible. So we talked about promises and blessings. We talked about the right attitude in obedience. And we're going to go into some of that today and just kind of brush over some more of that. But we talked about it a little bit in detail when we talked about the right attitude, and very important when it comes to obedience. We talked about the Lord Jesus Christ being our example concerning obedience, and that He was our and is our example when it comes to obedience. There is no greater obedient person that has been on this earth in a body as a human being like the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient. He was obedient to the Father in every way. All the way to His death and His resurrection afterwards, and is still obedient to the Father. And unashamedly, and that's the way we ought to be. We ought to follow His example, and the Bible says, "For whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Why are you ashamed of the Lord, if you are? You shouldn't be. You have absolutely no reason to be ashamed of the Lord. And anything that's trying to convince you to be ashamed of the Lord and ashamed of Him and His ways and of the Word of God is a lie. It's a lie. You know that. We don't have to be ashamed of our Lord at all. He's the one that came and got us. We didn't come and get Him. He came and got us. And then we talked about different relationships that require obedience towards authority. Remember that? We've spent a couple programs on that, talking about the marital relationship and talking about a parent-child relationship, the master-servant relationship, and in society, the ruler-subject relationship, and then and even in the assembly, the church, the gathering together of the saints and local assemblies, the pastor and the local assembly relationship. And we talked about God-man relationship and man-animal relationship and a God-nature relationship. And we talked about how God and the unclean spirits and the devil's relationship is according to obedience and authority. That the unclean spirits and the devils all through the scriptures have never been to been able to veto anything that God has said, anything that the Lord says. That's it. What are you standing here for? Get busy. I mean, anytime the Lord told one of them devils to come out of somebody, out they came, whether they liked it or not. They might have fought and complained and bellyached about coming out, but they came out. And then we talked about the truth, faith, and Word of God, and child of God relationship. And those were the things that the last where we left off was different relationships that require obedience towards authority. And today we're going to go into a new topic. And some of this remaining things that we're going to finish off this study with obedience. Now remember, this is the ABCs. We're not getting into anything real deep, and you listening to me and studying with me, you can believe that you're not going to be able to get listening to me is not going to be very deep anyway. I'm not a very deep person. If I go too far down, I lose my breath and drown. So I try to stay right there in the ABCs and the simplicity of Christ, the Bible says. We're going to talk about some truths about obedience. So let's begin. Some truths about this next subject or topic is some truths about obedience in a Christian's life. There are some truths that remain having to do with obedience in a Christian's life that the Bible talks about. And a few of them, we're just going to go over three of them. The first one is a truth about obedience in a Christian's life is that it comes from the heart. Obedience comes from the heart according to the Scriptures. Now, we know that. And anytime you've genuinely and honestly tried to be obedient, whether it be to your parents, whether it be to your husband, whether it be to your wife, whether it be to your boss man, whether it be to the Lord, whoever, if it was ever obedience, it was something that you made an honest decision about and that you chose to do, and you chose to do it from your heart. Now, we're talking about genuine obedience. We're not talking about a fake kind of obedience to where you have other reasons, hidden reasons why you're following through. You understand? True obedience in a Christian's life, it comes from the heart. You can fake it all you want. But if you have genuine obedience and you intend to be genuinely obedient to the Lord who knows all things and is omniscient and he knows what you're thinking and what you mean by what you think before you think it, it comes from the heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, listen to this, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You have it sitting right in front of you, the Word of God. And you've obeyed it. But you not only obeyed it, you obeyed it from the heart. And it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." Big difference there. White or black, up or down, left or right, polarities. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." What do you mean by were? "But ye have obeyed from the heart." You see the difference? When it comes from the heart, you turn from something and you turn to something. And when it comes to obedience in a Christian's life, it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. Just like I was talking to you about one of the pastors that the Lord put in my life to teach me some things. He used to have just a simple saying all the time, and he said, "We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Well, I'm going to be the best Christian that ever was. We'll see. Well, I'm going to do, I'm going to, we'll see. We'll see." You know, and you will see. There's a lot of people that have these, New Year's resolutions, and they perform acts of reformation in their life. "I'm going to reform myself, and I'm going to go to the gym and make a new blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab." And then it gets a good start and a lot of money spent and all this and get all this, and everybody's got a lot of garbage laying around their house because they started something and their heart wasn't in it, and it fizzled out. Well, obedience cannot be genuine and is not genuine in a Christian's life unless it's from the heart. The Bible says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And if all be said, you sitting right there listening to this and listening to the Word of God and wanting to study, you wouldn't be listening to this but one of two reasons. One, that you sincerely in your heart, as best as you know how, want to know God's Word, and you want to know the truth of God's Word, and you want to know it not only for your benefit, but for the glory of God. and you love the Lord, and you love Him as best as you know how to love Him, and you're willing to learn, willing, obedient. Or you're listening to this because you're trying to find something to mock about or make an excuse, for you to go ahead and live like you want to live. You're not sincere. And you won't be listening to this long, or maybe you think Brother TV is a clown, and you wouldn't be far off as far as my ability. But I'm sincere. You can't overrun that one. I'm living for the Lord, brother. I don't care what you do. Go jump off a building or something. Go fishing, whatever you want to do. But you're not going to change me anymore. But two reasons. You're either sincere or you're not sincere. And either your obedience to the Christian life, whether you make mistakes, and you will, and whether you fight the sins that so easily beset you. Some of us, we have sins that as soon as we're born again, the Holy Ghost is able to take those and strip us of them, and we never have problems with them again the rest of our life. But some of them, they easily beset us. They just aggravate us every single day, and we have to fight it 100 times a day. And they're just powerful sins and things that we should have never learned, that we have to unlearn. And they're powerful, and we have to fight them. But when you're sincere and it comes from the heart, then you're obedient to it, and you fight it. You don't give in to it. So you see, some truths about obedience, and we're talking about obedience, and the Christian's life is that it comes from the heart. We'll see. We'll see. And another thing, that's not all. It comes from the heart. It needs testing. Obedience in a Christian's life needs testing. And the Lord says that in His Word. In James chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." There's a reason behind your faith being tested. It makes you stronger, and it makes you patient to wait on the Lord, and makes you patient to learn. It's something just like you're doing right now. You on purpose had to sacrifice something to sit down every time you sit down to listen to God's Word and to study it, to get it in your mind and saturate it in your heart and in your mind. But you did it on purpose, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It teaches you how to wait on the Lord. The Bible says it is good that a man both hope and patiently wait on the Lord. In another place it says quietly wait on the Lord. So it needs testing. A faith that can't be tested ain't a faith worth anything. If it's worth having, then it can be tested. And even the world does that. If you say you go apply for a job and say that you can do this and you can do that, well, what do they put you on? They put you on a trial basis, right? A testing basis to see if you're what you say you are. The world had nothing to do with faith, of course, but your faith needs testing. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter, listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that tremendous? What a beautiful verse. What a promise. What a beautiful verse. But the Bible talking about obedience having to do with the Christian's life. The Bible doesn't try to hide or trick you in any way. The Bible, I challenge those men. I told those men when they would come to that ministry, when I would write things about the ministry that people could read and find out, you know, what the ministry is like, a troubled men's ministry, I would tell them, look, this is the bottom line. This is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. Because you're going to be dealing with you and your problems and your sin and your relationship with the Lord. And I'm not going to give you a break. You are either going, we're going to call your bluff. You're either going to change and you're going to mean it, or you're going to reveal your falsehood. And we're going to say bye. You can't help anybody that doesn't mean it, that doesn't want to. They don't have want to. Because if you want to, you'll be obedient to it, no matter what it takes to do it. And being a Christian, I challenge people. People come up and tell me about what a Christian is, and what, even saved people, even pastors or whoever, whatever, that come up and tell me what being a Christian is, challenge my Christianity. I tell them, all right, well, you can have the pulpit. Stand up there and tell us what Christianity is all about, sir. Go ahead. Tell us what Christianity is all about. You know so much about Christianity. Tell us what it's all about. Anybody that can tell you about Christianity and living a Christian life, probably one of the first paragraphs or the first subjects or the first manner of speech that they're going to give out is, it's sacrifice. It's Christ-like love. It's Christ's service. It's service to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's dying daily. It's crucifying yourself. It's taking up your cross. It's not time for rewards and happy and joy and blah, 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 even though there is joy in serving the Lord and sacrificing. It's not that time yet. That time comes after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, after he gets rid of all the problems that we have here. And we go into the millennium. And then is going to be the time, but not now. This is a time of testing. And your faith is going to be tested. The Lord said that ye suffer for a while, that you may be strengthened. That you suffer for a while, that you may be strengthened, established, and something else. I can't remember. I'll get it and give it to you. But the Lord, it takes suffering for you to settle. That's what it is. Strengthened, that the Lord strengthens you, establishes you, and settles you. And that takes time. It's maturity. You don't get mature without your faith being tested. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You matured, you grew. And same way in the Christian's faith, when it comes to obedience, it needs testing. Because we'll see, you see. The Lord doesn't pull any punches with you. He's not fake at all. He tells you straight about what it's going to be like. But it needs testing. The Bible says, but it not only gets tested, it gets rewarded. This is not one of those things where you work 20 and 30 years of your life and then somebody throws you in the garbage can and replaces you with a younger person and you get nothing out of your life. This is the Lord rewarding you for everything and every minute that you spend in labor for him and giving him glory and for his service. The Lord's not, he doesn't upbraid you and put a thumb on your head and misuse you. The Lord appreciates you, and he appreciates obedience because it's a choice. The Lord could make us robots anytime he wanted to, and he could make us. He'd just speak the word, and you'd stand at attention, my friend. But the Lord doesn't do that. He wants us to love Him because we choose to love Him. He wants us to be obedient to Him because we know it's right, we see it's right, we believe it's right, and we choose to be right. Some truths about obedience in a Christian's life. It comes from the heart. It needs testing. And then that's not all. Here's another one. It's aided by the Spirit. Now, when we say Spirit, we're talking about God, the Holy Ghost. It's aided by the Spirit. That's why the Lord gave us the earnest of the Spirit, and we had the down payment of eternal life. That was a gift that the Lord gave us when we were born again, that God, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, would come and live in our bodies and help us. And He does. And if you're born again, you might not completely understand how that thing happens, and I don't either. But the ABCs says He does it. And He did it. And He is doing it. And we know in our hearts, and our spirits bear witness with, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we're the sons of God. We know He's there. We don't understand it. The Lord said, as the wind comes from one direction and goes by you and you don't know where it goes, so is the Spirit. You can't understand it, but by faith you know it is. It's aided by the Spirit. What are we talking about? Obedience in a Christian's life. It's aided by the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Nothing fake in that verse. And remember, Peter's the one that wrote that, and you know what happened to Peter, don't you? The Lord asked him three times, "Dost thou love me?" And Peter got mad about it because he thought the Lord was being kind of, that the Lord might have doubted him or something, or thought he was lying or something. He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And the Lord says, "Lovest thou me, Peter?" Second time. And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then he said it the third time, and that made Peter mad. And then when Peter denied the Lord and went out, when the Lord was first arrested and they were starting to beat him and open his body up, and he started bleeding and suffering, Peter denied him three times like the Lord said, and then remembered, and the Lord looked at him. It said he went out and wept bitterly, and Peter's heart was changed. His sincerity was changed. He found out that what the Lord said, I mean, he meant business. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. But he didn't know the full extent of what was going on inside of him. The Lord had to change him and purify his soul in obeying the truth. And Peter become more obedient, and he grew. And look what he wrote. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's aided by the Spirit. All these other religions out there that have no Savior, that have done nothing or promised nothing to the people that follow them, Buddha and Muhammad and all them, they've not made no promises like Jesus has made to us, and they definitely have not left their spirit with their followers to help them. I know God the Holy Ghost dwells in me. I still, a lot of things I still don't understand, that's for sure. But one thing I do know is that He's there and that He helps me. And He helps me when I'm at my most ignorant times, when I don't know what to do, how to do, when to do, but I want to, and I want to be obedient. But anytime there's service to the Lord and there's obedience to the Lord, and it's with a pure heart fervently, and obeying the truth and purifying your souls with unfeigned love. It's not a dirty kind of love, and it's not a manipulative love. It's pure love, fervently, the Bible says. Then God the Holy Ghost is going to be involved in it because it's Christ's love. The love of the world and Christ's love are not even in the same bucket. They are not comparative in any way. They are not alike in any way. Two whole different, complete, different kinds of things and kinds of results and kinds of obedience. So, we've talked about some truths about obedience in a Christian's life. You remember what they were? What was number one? It comes from the heart. That's right. And number two, it needs testing, so don't be surprised when your faith is tested. Lord, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking me? Because your faith needs to be tested. And it's aided by the Spirit. You cannot love like God loves without God. Did you get that? You cannot serve God without God. That's what's wrong with some of the fundamentalists and some of the Christianity in the world today. They're trying to serve the Lord and have forgotten that they need the Lord to serve Him. Yeah. So let's move on to another topic concerning obedience and our study of obedience and what the Bible says. Let's look at some results produced for resisting obedience. Have you ever resisted obedience? Yes, you have, and I have too. But there, resistance to obedience. Now, there are rewards, the Bible says, for being obedient, not just because you work for just work for rewards. You work because obedience means that you first love the Lord. And then, I mean, loving the Lord and being obedient to Him has more passion and more joy in it than knowing that you're going to get a reward. The reward comes second in your mind and in your heart. You're thankful to have it, and thankful that it even makes you more thankful that your God appreciates your obedience enough that He would be willing to reward you for it. Even though the Bible says when you've done the best that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. That's obedience. But some results produced from resisting obedience. You also get rewards for resisting obedience. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you sin, it's going to bring you closer to death. It's going to kill you. Sin kills and destroys and maims. Sin kills. But some results produced for resisting obedience. Let's look at five of them. Number one is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, we have quite a bit of scripture here, and I'm going to read these to you, and I'll give them to you so you can go back over them, but just get the gist of what we're talking about resisting obedience and what happened because of it, the results of it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10 through 26, the Bible says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from me, from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he said unto the Lord all night, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Oh, he finally come out with it now. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Wait a minute. A minute ago he was blaming the people, remember? And thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king of Israel. What's some results produced for resisting obedience? Rejection. If you don't want the Lord, he don't want you. Now that puts a pretty big weight on obedience, doesn't it? Listen, you can't fool God. God knows whether you mean it or not, and the bottom line is, you know whether you mean it or not. Saul knew whether he meant it or not. The Lord gave him instructions on how to do things. Destroy everybody. Annihilate them. Kill everything. The animals too. And the king. What did he end up doing? He went over there and he feared the people because the people said, Man, those are good sheep. Those are good cows. Why are we going to kill them? So he made it up in his mind that, well, I'll tell everybody that we brought them back to sacrifice them unto the Lord, but we'll have good meat to eat. And then he brought back the king also through his pride, thinking that he wanted to show off who he had wiped out. And I even got the king here. God said, kill him. And he said, kill the sheep, kill the dogs, kill the cats, kill everything. And he didn't. So what happened? He was rejected. He was king. And notice what the Lord said. Whenever you were small in your own eyes, when thou was little in thine own sight, in other words, you're humble and you knew what you are and you know what you really are and you know what you're capable of. But when it comes to obedience, you set yourself in your own measure instead of lifting yourself up. That's part of being obedient. You not only know how to step up when the Lord says step up, but you know how to step down when the Lord says step down. Some results produced for resisting obedience. The first one is rejection. You can't blame the Lord for rejecting you if you reject Him. If you don't want the Lord and you want to have your dope, and you want to have your drugs, and you want to have your sex and your perversion, and you want to have your blabbity 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 blab and your boat and your house and your blabbity 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 blab, you can't blame God for rejecting you. Now, you're not going to go to hell because you're saved. But you think God's going to have fellowship with you and give you the joy of the Lord and fellowship with Him and His holiness and everything else because you want to play around in filth? And you don't even want to try? Don't be an idiot. You don't have anything to do with people that you know that don't want to have anything to do with you. Rejection. Another result produced from resisting obedience. Let me read that to you. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 11 and 12. Listen to this. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Hala and in Harbor and in Habor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed His covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. Man, it hits home, doesn't it? Well, some results produced for resisting obedience is not only rejection, but also captivity. You say, well, I ain't in captivity. Oh, yeah, you're getting put in captivity. Yes, you are. Your government is putting you in captivity. Do you feel as free? If you're my age, do you feel the same way about your freedom and your liberty that you did 40 years ago? America is being brought into captivity. And the United Nations and these other countries are eventually taking over America. And we are not in God's graces as far as country-wise and people-wise. Now, there are still Christians that are obedient to the Lord in this country, and that's the only thing this country's hanging on to at all is because of the Christian service to the Lord and that the Lord honors the ones that honor Him. But as far as a country and a people, the Lord's out of there, man. And you're going to go into captivity because of it. Israel, the Lord sent people in there several times to take them and destroy their city. And take them out of there and put them in bondage and put them under the thumb of another people. China used to be the enemy. Russia used to be the enemy. Japan used to be the enemy. Now you drive their cars, you wear their clothes, you buy their stuff in the stores, made in China, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Captivity. Some results produced from resisting obedience, rejection, captivity. Here's another one. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you want to break that thing down to just a personal thing, just being in our person as far as resisting the Lord and being disobedient to Him, some results produced for resisting obedience. It's not only community-wise and people-wise and country-wise as a people, but it's also as an individual. You reject the Lord, He'll reject you. You reject the Lord and not be obedient to Him, He will bring you personally into captivity in your own mind and in your own heart. Some of the people that have killed themselves, young men, young women that have killed themselves, one of the things that they said is, I feel like a prisoner in my own body. You're in captivity. You have no freedom. The Bible says, that the Lord will make you free. He'll make you free. There are people in prison that know the Lord, and they're more free than the people that are on outside of the prison. They're not set free, but they're made free. Captivity. The third one is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Another thing you notice in that verse is, as far as coming from what that verse we just read, some results produced for resisting obedience is retribution. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. "And to you who are troubled," there's two different things here, two different results here for obedience. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." Of course, this is the second advent. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." There's your lovey-dovey Jesus. He's coming back and he's taking vengeance on them that know not God because they choose not to know him and they don't want to have nothing to do with him and they sure ain't going to be obedient to him. "Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ," obedience, "who shall be punished," not set in the corner, not put on restriction, not punished, "with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." You know, all these people walking around and they blabbity blabbing with their mouth and they're saying all these bold things and mocking the Lord and saying all these terrible things against the Lord and his person and against his people and the people that are obedient to him. Retribution. You're going to get what's coming to you. You're going to get a justly deserved penalty. You're going to be corrected. And the Lord said, literally, in his word, he didn't make no qualms, he didn't make no doubts about it. He said he's going to take revenge. Retribution. You're going to be paid back. And talking about the if you're unsaved and you're listening to this, you better get saved. You say, "There you go with that saved stuff." Yeah. You better get saved. You better not slip into eternity unsaved. Because you will die in your sins and you will be accountable for your sins to the Lord and you ain't going to like that. Ever. You better get saved. You better confess the Lord Jesus Christ and you better get saved. You better receive him as your Savior and do it immediately because everybody's going to get their just reward, good and bad. You say, "I don't believe it." Okay. Well, and Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You can doubt it all you want to. We'll see. We'll see if God is able to do what he says he can do. We'll see. You better get saved. You better quit playing around and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and take that free gift from Him and believe that He died for you and believe that He was buried and He resurrected and that He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you humble yourself and call upon His name and believe on Him and confess to Him that you're a sinner and that what He says is right about you and that you need a Savior and you need Him to save you. And He will. Everybody else listening to this that is saved, they can testify to you and tell you that the Lord has done what He said He'd do. I'm born again. I know I am. I had nothing to do with it. I just obeyed the truth. That's all I did. The Lord saved me. I didn't save myself. The Lord saved me. He's the one that done everything. And He's the one that'll do everything for you, if you will obey. But if you won't, the results produced from resisting obedience, retribution. You're going to get what you deserve. The Bible says so. Another one. A result produced for resisting obedience, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me read that to you, verse 26 through 30. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now, of course, this verse is talking to Christians, and it's meant for people that are born again and have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them, and it's where the Lord was sitting at the table. And this is where communion was instituted, and the Lord said for them to do this in remembrance of Me. And some results produced for resisting obedience and doing what the Lord says. This is particularly to the Christians. What's the results? Weak, sickly, and even death. You see, the Lord is a good Father, and He's holy, and the Lord is a good priest. He's our high priest now. He was a prophet when He came, and when He resurrected and went back to heaven, He's our priest now. And when He comes back next time, He'll be our king. But right now, the Lord commanded you to partake of communion and remember His death. Through the bread and the cup, okay? And those represent His shed blood and, of course, His broken body, which represent His death. And that's what we are to remember when we do this as often as we do it, okay? He didn't give a specific time. He just said, as oft as you do it, but do it. But before you do it, examine yourself. Examine what about yourself? Whether you're obedient. Whether you're not a fake. Because if you partake of this cup, which is symbolic, and there's nothing having to do with your salvation in it at all, it's talking about your obedience to the Lord and you honoring Him for what He has done and remembering what He has done. It's a memorial symbolically representing the Lord and what He has done for you, that you on purpose remember Him. And you do it by symbolically partaking together of the cup, which is the drink, and the bread, which is just a juice and bread, but it represents something very important. That is in the past. That's already happened. That'll never happen again. But if you partake of this unworthily and not as an obedient, born-again person that appreciates the Lord says that you eat and drink damnation to yourself. Not going to hell, but the wrath of a father on a disobedient child, because you're sitting there and pretending that you are partaking of something that is holy, the Lord's death, and you know in your heart that you're sleeping with what's-his-name down the street. Or you just got through cheating on your time card. Or that whatever. But you're not being obedient as a Christian, sincerely, from the heart. You're resisting obedience. Well, the Lord says, not discerning. It says, eating and drinking damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, you're not taking God's death seriously and what he did for you. You're kind of stepping on his blood. Damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this, in other words, because you're being this way and because you dare tempt the Lord by doing something symbolic to remember the most important thing that he's done for you, for this cause, many are weak. Have you been sick and can't get well? Many are weak. Many are sickly. And many sleep. God will kill you. If you're going to insist on resisting obedience and being disobedient to the Lord as one of his children that are born again and are going to end up with him anyway in glory, because of what he says and his promises. If you think you're going to behave any old way that you want to behave down here without the Lord dealing with it, you're really deceiving yourself. Because the Lord carries a big strap, and he don't mind using it on you. And it says, whom all are partakers. And the Lord kind of says, how dare you? Many are weak and many sickly. And the Lord's killed a lot of his children, the sons of God, for misbehaving and not being obedient. And you just come on home. You can't handle it down there and you're not going to handle it down there. Then I'm just going to bring you on home. And then you go to be with the Lord and you stand. And the Lord says, you know why you're here? Yeah. Weak, sickly, and death are results produced for resisting obedience. You're not born into some kind of clown circus family. You're born into a holy, God-fearing family that's honest and just and obedient and has a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. Ain't nothing fake about him at all. And he don't talk fake. He's not a deceiver. He doesn't lie to us. He looks out for us and provides for us. And all he asks is that you be serious about being in his family and not be a fake. And the last thing that we're going to talk about today, some results produced for resisting obedience, is found in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6. Let me read that to you. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. You having troubles that won't quit? Troubles, 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 troubles. That's not what God called you into. He tries your faith, yes, but he don't give you trouble. And if he does test you with some trouble, it's going to end. Are you having continuous trouble that won't go away? Are you obedient to the Lord? Are you resisting obedience? What about Job chapter 36, verse 10 through 12? Now, Job wasn't disobedient. Job was learning a lesson from the Lord. But Job was righteous. The Lord said so. Job 36, chapter 36, verse 10 through 12. Listen to this. He openeth also the ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. This is a man that went through a year's worth of the Lord letting the devil strip him. But of course, you see in the end that the Bible said that the Lord is very gracious, and he gave Job twice as much as he had before because Job was obedient. He never cussed the Lord out, even though his wife tried to get him to. And she was manipulated by the devil. What did the devil tell the Lord when he was up there talking about Job? He says, you do this to him, he'll cuss you to your face. And what did the devil provoke his wife to get him to do? To curse God and die. Yeah, that's how that snake works. That's how the devil works. But he couldn't break Job's obedience. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Is that you? And then say serving the Lord was easy. We talked about that at the beginning of this program. That serving the Lord is sacrifice, and serving him is the hardest thing in the world to do sometimes. But it's not hard the way the world's trouble is. It's not trouble like the world trouble. Our testing has prosperous results, and it's for our benefit. You having trouble because of disobedience and resisting obedience out in the world, you're just getting the results of sin. And the world's just brushing off the dirt on you, you know. You're a Christian and you do that? The world's even mocking you. You having troubles? Listen to this. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll clean you up right then, right there. And he'll forgive you. And he'll do it faithfully, every time, and justly, if you'll confess it to him. Now, you're not going to hell because of it, but you might be having a lot of trouble. All you got to do is bow your head and say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. And this is what I'm doing. And this is what my heart is like. And tell him the truth. Tell him just as plain as you can tell him. Until your heart knows that it's telling the truth. And then confess it to him and ask him to help you and watch what happens. That's all it takes. He's faithful and just. He's not a liar. Try it. You having trouble? Any weak, sickly, or death? Retribution? You been paid back? Captivity? Do you feel free in your heart and in your mind? Do you feel free? Are you walking around free and free indeed? The Lord shall make you free and free indeed. You have any rejection? It's all there, and it's true, isn't it? And the scriptures tell us so. It's what the Bible says, and what the Bible says is true, and we know it, and we believe it, and we're going to conform to it because the Lord made his word to make us holy, to teach us to be holy and to be like him. And what better thing in anywhere, anyhow, than to be like the Lord, huh? That should be our desire, is to be like him. Some results produced for resisting obedience. We talked about that, and we talked about some truths about obedience in a Christian's life. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? Are you ready? First one is Romans chapter 6, verse 17. James, chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 10 through 26. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 30. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 36. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6. And the last is Job chapter 36, verse 10 through 12. Well, God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and let's be true. Let's be honest. Let's be just. Let's be obedient to the Lord because we want to, not because we have to. Because you don't have to. You can continue just like you want to continue, and the Lord won't interrupt you, but He's going to teach you. You're one of His youngins, and He takes that seriously. But, the results produced for resisting obedience, you know. So let's just be obedient. Why not? I mean, it's not the last option. It's the first option. When we get to glory, we're going to wish that we had been. Every elder person that I've seen that's fixing to go home to be with the Lord, and you ask them and you respect them and you're sitting there talking to them and they're fixing to go to be with the Lord. You know what they say? A lot of them say, oh, if I had just done more for the Lord. You start thinking that way the closer you get to be with the Lord. Oh, I wish I'd just done more for the Lord. Not for a reward, but for that's the way I want to be known by people, and when I leave, I want to be known that I'd done everything that I could for the Lord. You hear that from a lot of folks, and it's true. So the Lord be with you, and thank you for listening to this and studying with us, and I enjoy studying with you, and let's stay faithful to this and learn the Lord's Word, okay? And the ABCs of God's Word. It's Brother Thurman, and I'll talk to you soon, okay? Bye-bye.